The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And Owen Sheehan from Off the Ball joins us here in studio now to look at all the big sporting action this weekend. Lovely to see you as always, Owen.
Good to see you, Ciara.
I think we should start with what's happened at Munster and this sort of final decision now by Roger Randall not to move to Munster as an attack coach. They say the contract has been cancelled by mutual consent.
Yeah, so this has been at the back of a huge fallout to his appointment, which was announced 2 weeks ago. So as you can imagine, loads of backlash to this because Roger Randall was accused of rape back in 1997 in South Africa when he was playing with his New Zealand team in Durban. Now, he has always denied these charges. However, with that allegation comes a lot of backlash, as I say, towards the province and towards Clayton McMillan, the head coach who would have worked with Roger Randall in the past. Now, Clayton McMillan had previously been on the record standing over this, vouching for Roger Randall as an individual and as a human being. But behind the scenes, not everybody was happy at Munster. You had the Professional Games Committee losing three of their members over this. Billy Holland, Killian Keane and Mick O'Driscoll resigned from their positions. And then you also had the Commercial Advisory Group, which is a voluntary body. You had resignations from that as well over the past couple of weeks. So there was massive fallout to this that we can point to. The people might question, where do Munster now go to find a new attack coach? I think the more important question is how Munster managed to find themselves in this position in the first place. The optics of this were always terrible, and Munster was in a pretty bad position off the pitch anyway going into this story, given the redundancies news that we've seen in the last month. The on-field matters have not helped things, to be quite honest, either, and there are real questions now towards the hierarchy and those at the very top of Munster Rugby regarding their decision-making process.
And it's interesting to look at the statement that has come from the head coach, Clayton McMillan, who obviously worked with Randall at the Chiefs in New Zealand. He said he's personally disappointed that we will not have the opportunity to work together. I know Roger well. He's an outstanding person and coach, and I believe he would have brought a real quality to the programme. So there's not a huge fulsome apology coming from those quarters just yet either. I mean, a lot of writers are treating this as much bigger than Munster, that this is really a stress test for Irish rugby governance. Do you agree it is?
Well, so when this story first broke, we were in touch with the IRFU on this, and their response, and I believe this is the same to all journalists working on this story, was that this was a question for Munster rugby. Now, we don't know what has happened in the last 2 weeks. We don't know how involved the IRFU has been in cancelling this project, but you'd have to think that somebody in the top brass looked at what was happening in one of their provinces and maybe said, listen, I'm not sure if this is a great look. I don't know that, but I wouldn't be particularly surprised if the IRFU have been involved here. Now, Munster should have smelled the roses here a little bit as well when they see the likes of Billy Holland, Killian Keane and Mick O'Driscoll depart their roles. When you have like good Munster people leaving their jobs in the middle of all of this, that's a bit of a red flag that something might not have gone down too well. So we don't know exactly what's happened here, but the lack of an apology from the head coach is certainly notable. I'd say Clayton McMillan is he definitely would have stood over this appointment, and I would suggest he would have been central to the appointment in the first place. So I'm not quite sure what he is thinking since the appointment has been called off.
Interesting to see where this story goes. I don't think we've actually quite drawn a line under it yet, but anyhow, let's just look towards the sport that's happening this weekend. Start of the Champions Cup. Bernard Jackman has said that Leinster need that fifth star on their jersey, mainly so they can get over all of the near misses over the years. Would you go along with that?
100%. I think the stakes are so high tomorrow afternoon. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff for Leinster versus Toulon. It's a game you'll be able to hear live on News Talk, by the way, full commentary of the game. The teams get named in 70 minutes, and it'll be quite interesting to see what way Leinster go. Famously last year for this fixture against Northampton in the Champions Cup semi-final, they left Jordy Barrett on the bench, which was, it's just something that is constantly used as a critique of this current coaching ticket. So I think this is the redemption opportunity, if they can redeem themselves for that from last year. They absolutely have to win this game, Ciara. If Leinster lose this game tomorrow, there will be knives out for those running Leinster in terms of the coaches. I know a lot of them are contracted for another full season, but they just absolutely have to win this game.
Knives out for Leo Cullen if he doesn't deliver this.
There already have been knives out for Leo Cullen after last year. Prior to that, I think it's been a bit ridiculous. I think he had been harshly treated and harshly viewed, I think, in the public sphere prior to last year. But last year was a blunder blunder, leaving Jordy Barrett on the bench against Northampton. You don't get to a final this year. I think you're following one mistake up with another one. That'll be the brutal reality of it. The great thing, though, is that if they win and they're underdogs for that final against Bordeaux, pressure's kind of off. Bordeaux are playing Bath, by the way. Bordeaux are not they're not guaranteed to win that game.
Just basically said they are. They're going straight to the final there, Owen. Do you know something I don't know?
This is rather reminiscent of Donegal versus Down
last week, and people penciling Donegal
into the Ulster semi-final. I'm just saying, if Bordeaux beat Bath this weekend, they will be favourites for that final, and then pressure's off Leinster. So it's such an important semi-final for this Leinster team, and for some of these individuals as well. It's kind of the biggest game they'll have played to date for either province or for country, most notably Harry Byrne, who's probably going to start at out half. I don't think he's started an Ireland game that's as big as this game is going to be for Leinster.
And helpful that Toulon aren't quite where they used to be, fair to say.
No, nowhere near where they used to be. They still have brilliant talent across the back line, the likes of Jaminet and Gael Dreyon, and they have a couple of great props as well. And that's going to be the big issue here. Like Kyle Sinclair going up against the Leinster props, possibly going to be Furlong and Porter, but very, very unlikely that it's going to be both. So Porter apparently is going to be fit for this. That's what we're hearing, which would be a massive addition for Leinster. But all will be revealed, as I say, at 12 o'clock when the team is named.
And Off the Ball, we'll be covering that tomorrow with live commentary in the afternoon. Now to the Premiership. You and I were sitting in this studio a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about Arsenal taking on Man City, and you said to me, the winner of this game will ring the league.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember saying that?
I do, and I stand over that.
And you stand over it.
Yes.
Right, so Arsenal are at home to Fulham on Saturday. Man City are away to Everton on Monday. How do you see this playing out?
I think Manchester City will win. I think Arsenal will win as well. I think we're going another week on this when they're going to be level on points and close enough on goal difference, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if it's scratchy 1-0 wins, 2-1 wins for both of these teams. So I think we could be very similar, locked on the same conversation next week, which would be great. We'd be going into within 5 games of the end of the season. So Manchester City still have that game in hand. It's against Crystal Palace coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Hill Dickinson Stadium is a tougher fixture than Fulham coming to Arsenal is. The issue for Arsenal, obviously, is that they're coming off the back of this clash with Atletico Madrid midweek, and they're looking ahead to Atletico again next midweek. So that, for me, it's not going to take their eye off the ball here at all. It's just some of these Arsenal players look exhausted. That midfield pairing of Zubimendi and Declan Rice, I think they play close to 4,000 minutes, or they're going to play close to 4,000 minutes come the end of this season. They played a lot of football, and you can see it in the legs at this point. It's not a sure thing that they get the win against Fulham tomorrow evening, but I suspect they will.
And Man United are home to Liverpool on Sunday. Now, there was a time that would have been one of the biggest matches in the Premiership. I wouldn't have missed it. But actually, now that they both have secured Champions League places, they're not in the fight for the title. Does it really matter?
It always matters. They're probably home and hose now when it comes to Champions League football, because top five qualify for Champions League. Liverpool have an 8-point cushion on Brighton in 6th. Manchester United have an 11-point cushion on Brighton in 6th. So Manchester United...
I've decided that's sorted.
Yeah, I think it really is. So it is really bragging rights at this stage. The one interesting knock-on impact of this, though, is that if Liverpool were to be beaten, let's say, and Aston Villa beat Tottenham on Sunday, which is a 7 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, it's kind of a strange kickoff time, then Aston Villa finishing 4th could have implications for the rest of the Premier League. Because if Aston Villa finish 5th and they win the Europa League, the team in 6th will qualify for the Champions League. So Brighton basically are gunning...
I need to see a table to work this out.
Because top 5 gets Champions League, and whoever wins the Europa League gets a Champions League place. If Aston Villa have both of those things boxed off, which is possible, then they need to find somebody else to take up the 6th place for the Champions League next season. And that would go to the team in 6th in the Premier League, which, as we speak, is Brighton and Hove Albion.
OK, let's look to the GAA this weekend and the Munster Championship round-robin game. Clare versus Limerick. Limerick coming off that narrow loss to Cork, and Clare beat Waterford. How do you see this one going?
I think Limerick will win, but I think is doing a lot of lifting there. Limerick are going to be missing Keane Lynch. They're going to be missing Aaron Galan, two of their best players. And as we saw last week in the game with Cork, maybe the depth that Limerick have now isn't what it was a couple of years ago, which is not necessarily this wild criticism. Like, Limerick had an insane squad when they were at their peak in 21, 22, 23. that now when you look at some of the subs coming off the bench, while they are great players and they have done great things for Limerick, they maybe don't add the freshness that some of, say, the Cork substitutes would have brought off the bench last week. Now, you say that about Limerick, and Clare suffer from the exact same thing. Clare need absolutely everybody fit to be All-Ireland contenders. That's what happened for them 2 years ago when they had the likes of Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell firing at all cylinders. I mean, touch wood, Clare are looking in an okay place right now when it comes to their bill of health. So they'll be pretty confident going up against Limerick, because it's at Cusick Park, it's at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And if it's not Cork versus Limerick being the best game of Munster over the last number of years, then it's Clare versus Limerick. They've served up amazing games when they've both been at their peak. And this is such a crucial game, because if Limerick come away from this with back-to-back defeats, then all of a sudden the question goes from, wait, are these guys not only not All-Ireland favourites, are these guys not going to get out of Munster at this stage? It is a brutal championship down there, and I just can't wait for this on Sunday.
It's like what it was in Donegal last weekend. It became a brutal championship, and we don't have time to dissect that. Thankfully, very briefly, I want to look at Shelburne, because they are struggling so much this year and they're in a relegation scrap. They go to Dundalk this evening. Call that briefly.
I think Shelburne will probably get the job done there to try and turn things around. But Dundalk have been good at different times this season. And you'd have to say the surprise package of the year so far, if not St. Pat's at the top of the table, Dundalk flying high in third. Is this going to be the moment that Shells are going to turn things around? Quite possibly. But you're right, it's a relegation battle. And if Dundalk keep winning, who knows where their season might actually go. They're flying high in third.
So a fascinating weekend of sports. Still so much to play for, Ongi, and Off the Ball. Thanks so much. And of course, full commentary on Off the Ball right throughout the weekend. Let's take a quick break.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.